Christ our Savior is risen from the dead. Alleluia.
Break forth into joy. Sing together. God comforts those whose hearts are broken in sorrow.
We who once suffered in death, we who once cried in despair.
Now we know victory over death. Now we know joy over despair.
For God has raised Christ from the grave.
Alice Freeman Palmer was the president of Wellesley College in the late 1800s, and she once remarked this: "For I remember it is Easter morn, and life and love and peace are all born." We live as Easter people. This, in fact, is Easter morn. Here and now, let us celebrate that love and life and peace are indeed reborn. The peace of Christ be with you. Now share it with one another.
So good to see.
Friends, on this glorious spring morning, I bid you a good morning. Oh, okay. Okay. And as the sun shines through those glorious panes of glass, I offer a welcome this morning to one and all. Welcome to those who are stooped over by the burdens of life and to those who are walking tall. Welcome to those who come with joy upon their lips, and to those who feel like life is but one big eclipse. Welcome to those lonely and apart, and to those with love in their heart. For here we hear God's whisper in our ear, and our calling is but to spread good cheer. As the wise Henry Nouwen once said, it is our vocation as people of faith to convert the hostis into a hospice. In other words, to convert the enemy into a treasured guest. To make this a free and fearless space where brotherhood and sisterhood can be formed and fully experienced. So welcome, one and all, to this holy place and this holy time. May it become that free and fearless space that changes everything through grace. Welcome to worship at the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ here in Stockbridge. We are so glad that all of you are here. I would invite at this point anyone who has an announcement to make about the life of this church to come forward to this microphone that you might be prepared to do so. As they come forward, I would draw your attention to our visitor pew cards in each and every pew. Feel free to fill it out and stick it in the offering plate. If I don't know how to reach out and say thank you for being with us, please give me a way to do so. Ann.
Good morning. I'm Ann Hutchinson, and I organize Open Table, which is a free community dinner on Thursday nights at the Grange, which is just up the street here, like a quarter of a mile up the street on the left. It's spring. Come eat with us. We have great chefs, great food, and it's free, although you're welcome to make a donation. But we'd love to have you come. We need some more faces there to be welcoming to everyone who comes. And Irving is usually there.
Good morning. I'm Jeremy Reitenauer. I'm a member of the Christian Education Committee. I want to let people know that starting on Monday, April 20th at 7, we're going to begin the small group or spiritual reflections that we did this January and February. This time, Carrie Quigley is going to lead and facilitate the discussion on a book, My Bright Abyss. I don't know too much about it yet, but we're ordering copies. Just to say, the last small group, I think, was really great. We met for 6 weeks. We had about 10 to 12 people, and this time we're trying to keep it similarly to about 10 people, but we're reopening the group, so I'm going to post a sign-up sheet in the Jonathan Edwards' room. Anyone who wants to sign up, feel free. If you email me if you have any questions, or Carrie. I think it's a great time where people, we're sort of trying to gather around to talk about the book, but also really share our faith. And I think it was a good time. So I encourage everyone to sign up, and I'll be in the church after the service if you have any questions. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Terry Wise, and several of us met this past week for the first time as what we're calling the Green Team for our church, although the name may get improved somehow. But anyway, we're contemplating different ways that we can help reduce our own carbon footprint and to provide information to the congregation about environmental issues as an act of faith in protecting God's creation. And you can see a lot of information back on the Mission in Action bulletin board, so I encourage you to take a minute to really look over that. And also I want to let you know that this weekend Project Native here in Great Barrington is running a free film festival, and they began last night, and the films run all day today on different topics regarding food, chemicals, you know, all kinds of things. Hopefully not too depressing. Most of these documentaries have an upside to them and are meant to give hope. I'm going to be leaving right after church to go down and see one called Open Sesame, The Story of Seeds. And it's all about this precious part of God's creation, seeds, which are so important to our survival and what's happening to them. So if you have any questions, I have a listing of the films that are being shown. I'd be glad to share that with you. Thanks.
Friends, there never has been, nor will there ever be another moment quite like this one. It was made for the worship of God, so let's get to it.
Mary couldn't be here, and you see it takes two of us to do what Mary could do, so we'll try. Our first reading for the day is Psalm 133. The Psalms are the treasure chest of the church, proclaiming the truths about life and faith. Hear these words from those who have gone before us. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore.
The children like to come up front. Hi guys, how's everyone this morning? Everyone okay? Are you excited about the spring finally being here and the sun shining? I'm so happy too. What a relief. Here, I'll sit right here. So this morning we're going to talk about unity. Do you guys know what unity means? Anybody know what unity means? All together? That's very good. Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, the definition of unity is the state of being united or joined together. So exactly what you said, so thank you. And the scripture that was read was Psalm 133, and I'm going to read it really quickly again so you can put it in your heads. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. And we're going to just focus on unity. And have you ever thought about your Sunday school group that you see every week, going to class together, doing children's time together, doing Easter egg hunts outside together? You're kind of a unified group. You're kind of a special group, and you're starting to get to know each other. And that's a special little team that you have here at church. So I have something for you to do right now, okay? Okay, let's see what I have in here. I have some old rope. All right, let's see. Why don't each of you take a piece of rope and try to pull it apart on the edges. You can take the edges and try to pull it apart. See? Yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah, Irving, you got it right away because I knew that you would be the one to get it. Andrew, you're next. I believe in you. Okay, everyone. Yeah, everyone's been, good job pulling it all together, pulling it all apart for me. Okay. So you were able to pull all those little pieces apart. That's perfect. Now, can you and your sister, can you get on one side and have your sister get on the other side and just pull a little bit? Why don't you do it down on the floor, not by the candles? So let's go down there and just pull a little bit. Just kind of like a little. It's not a tug of war. Just pull. We're just making a point here. Okay. Yep. Pull, pull, pull. So it's kind of harder to come apart, right? Like the little pieces were easier to pull apart, but that one, you can't pull that one apart, huh? Okay, all right, very good, thank you. I can take that back if you want. Yep, right, Herb. No, it's okay, I'll just hold on to it. Yes, you can tell how I was strategic about, what I chose for that. All right, well, I just wanted to have you look at the little ropes and see how they could all come apart, because they're so little, but when you're together, there's one big rope, it's harder to pull apart. Because if you think about the big rope, it's kind of like your unity, your little team here in Sunday school. When you're together and you're all in one place and you're thinking about why you're here and you're focusing on your lesson and about being together, it's easier to be strong. But sometimes if you're thinking about other things and maybe not wanting to be here, it's easier to just kind of come apart and everyone will go in different directions. It's very easy to do. So let's just think about being united as a group and being together and having fun and taking care of each other on your little team. And does somebody like to read? Does anybody like to read? Guys like to read? Why don't you read some? Hold on, I'm going to get the microphone for you so we can hear your gorgeous voices. Do you like to read, Andrew? Mama going to help? Can Mama help? Okay, hold on, I'm going to get the microphone so we can hear what you have to say. All right. Andrew, you go first.
Treat. Each other like friends.
Treat each other like friends. Oh, that's a good idea. That sounds perfect for a team. What about you, Irving?
Enjoy having fun together.
Enjoy having fun together. That's perfect.
Find things in common.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Include the church in your life. Get together.
Perfect. And you know what? The last thing to do as a team, as a united team in the United Church of Christ, is to make memories. So I hope you all can remember that you're a wonderful, special team that gets together each week, but you can also do things during the week together to make your team stronger and take good care of each other. And you know what we're going to do right now? As one unified group, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, okay? All right, so let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Okay. Come on, Andrew. All right. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much. Have a great day at Sunday school.
Our second reading comes from the book of Acts. Acts was written by Luke and was intended to be read as a continuation of his gospel. It is the story of how the disciples lived into their lives as leaders, healers, teachers, and followers of Christ. Hear these words about the earliest time of our church. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had any need. These are the words of truth. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, source of light and life, source of hopes and dreams, source of all we are and all we might yet be, send your Spirit down to wrap around our hearts, that we may see new things, feel new things, and even believe new things. We ask all of this in the name of the one we follow. Amen. So, the United Church of Christ, and this very congregation of which it is a part, we are doers. We are people who like to tackle problems. We are people who like to get our hands dirty, to get out there and dig in the mud and stir things up and bring about justice. We are doers. It is part of our very DNA. In the statement of faith for the United Church of Christ are these words, that our still-speaking God calls us to accept the joys and the costs of discipleship. It is a call that we, as the United Church of Christ, have been answering long before our denomination had that name. Samuel Sewall, a Congregationalist from Boston, was the very first person in the United States of America to write a tract against slavery in his pamphlet back in 1700 entitled The Selling of Joseph. It was in a congregational meeting house that looked very much like this one, where people gathered to demand equal rights and from which they left to throw a tea party out in Boston Harbor. We were the first denomination to ordain an African-American person, Lemuel Haynes, in Torrington, Connecticut. We were the first denomination to ordain a woman, Antoinette Brown, in New York, and the first to ordain an openly gay person, William Johnson, in California. It was to the United Church of Christ, not his own denomination, that Martin Luther King Jr. turned in the civil rights movement to approach and boycott and pester the FCC about the fact that many Southern television stations were not carrying any coverage at all of the civil rights movement. It was this denomination that launched the social gospel movement. It was this denomination that, before any others, formed a foreign mission society. And ours was the first denomination to write a hymnal that included gender-inclusive language for God. We are the denomination of Niebuhr's Serenity Prayer and Tillich's Courage to Be. And we are, of course, the denomination of one Jonathan Edwards, who launched the Great Awakening. And said this. He said that our church must recover the passion of a transforming faith that changes the course of lives. We are a church of doing. It is part of our DNA. And all of that DNA goes back to those earliest followers of Christ that are described here in our reading from the book of Acts. They had doing in their DNA too. They lived that passion of faith in a way that truly transformed not only their lives, but all of the lives around them. Gary told us that they gathered as a people of one heart and one mind, discovering just how good it is when kindred live together in unity, everything they held in common. Did you hear? There was not a single person among them who had any need, not even one. That is the mantle of justice that we in the United Church of Christ have picked up upon. In fact, we have become known as the open and affirming church. We have become known as the just peace church. We have become known as a servant church in the service of others. I know I've talked to many of you, and part of your joy in this local congregation is finding a way to serve, is finding a way to be part of the community, to give back. And we do it in a myriad of beautiful ways. And all of that goes back to this beautiful passage here in Acts. We are a church of doing, and I pray that it might always be so. And yet, while I hope it always remains so, we need to always go back to the question of why. Why do we do what we do? In fact, that was the very question that was on the minds of the Lutherans and the Reformed Church in America in the late 1980s. You see, at that time, the United Church of Christ and those two other denominations were in talks to become in what we call full communion with one another. What full communion means is that my pulpit is your pulpit. Your communion is our communion. Full communion means we recognize each other in full and in intimate ways. And there in the late 1980s, there was a roadblock. There was a question for those Lutherans and for those people from the Reformed Church. And at the heart of their worry was that we were a church of doers. They pointed to a United Church of Christ bumper sticker that was prominent at the time that said, "To believe is to care, is to do." And they said, "You know what? You folks evidence a lot of doing. You talk a lot about doing. What we don't know is what you believe and how it is that you come to care. It sounds to us like a whole lot of works righteousness kind of stuff, which makes us all sorts of nervous. And so before we enter into full communion with you, you need to prove to us that all that doing comes from something." And you know what? A great measuring stick for our church should always be this story that Gary read from the book of Acts. A story where people were living together in unity, where people did things that changed other people's lives, where people solved the needs of all around them, but not just to look at what they did, but to look at why they did it. By the time this story comes about in Acts, it is already about 50 days after Easter. The great day of Pentecost has just come, that day where the Holy Spirit comes down like flames of fire. Do you know what the disciples have been up to in those 50 days leading up to Pentecost? Acts tells us. What they did is they gathered together in an upper room and they prayed. They prayed all day long, day by day, the scripture says. They spent much time together, the scripture tells us. They worshiped together in the temple. They spent time breaking bread together and sharing meals in their homes. And they spent tons of time with good hearts praising God. Before they did anything, they worshiped, they prayed, they listened to God and to one another. And all of that is what led to them doing what they did. Here in verse 33, it says this, that what they were doing was their testimony to the resurrection of Jesus. That their doing was their response to God's great gift of Easter. That their doing was their celebration that life, love, and peace had once again been reborn. Oh, their actions were radical and life-changing. Not because they thought them up, but because all of what they did was rooted in and testimony to Jesus. Their actions were merely echoes of Christ's own actions. They didn't make up this idea of sharing with those in need. They had watched Christ do it every day of his life. Doing that emerged from care. Doing that was rooted in God. And so the question that looms before us, this church of doers that we are, is how does our own tradition and our church measure up to this account in Acts? Well, in the late 1980s, at least the Lutherans and the Reformed Church gave us a big thumbs up. They entered into full communion with us after a couple of things. First, they heard testimony about our great theological history, writings from people just like Jonathan Edwards, who wrote this, that we are the actors, but God is the only author and foundation of our acting. And perhaps even more so, leading up to this conversation with the Lutherans and the Reformed Church, the United Church of Christ did something amazing. Here in Massachusetts, out on the Cape at the Craigville Center, they invited 150 people to come together, and they spent days together. They spent days together praying. They spent days together worshiping God. They spent days together feasting with one another and praising God. And out of that meeting, they wrote a letter. It's called the Craigville Letter. Look it up. It's great reading. It talks about not just what we do, but more importantly, why we do it. But here's the problem. Answering that question of why we do something is not a one-time test. It is a question we have to keep asking ourselves. It is a thing we have to keep measuring up to, a way of life, a testimony to the one we follow. And I have to be honest with you, I have some deep reservations about our great tradition and denomination today, the United Church of Christ. In our larger denomination, I sometimes worry that our doing all of this angst about social justice might be getting a little detached from our faith and our worship and our prayer. In my dialogues with UCC pastors here in Berkshire County, I hear a whole lot more about the doing than about the why it's needed. When we talk about causes of justice that are real, good, and pressing, I hear much more about the conversation about what we need to do out there than what we need to do in here, or maybe even more importantly, in here first. Much more a call to action and doing than a listening for the Spirit moving in our midst. Our national office recently rolled out a nationwide study on illiteracy. It is an important and meaningful topic. But in that 4-week study guide, do you know there was not a single question about how our faith connects to this issue of wanting people to be able to read? There was not a single moment where it asked us to call, how does the response of Jesus call us to teach people how to read and why it's important? And there is a more recent bumper sticker of our denomination. It hangs on Kathy's door. Kathy, you know I love it, but check it out sometime. It makes me just a little bit nervous. On the top, it says in big, bold letters, "Be the church." And then it lists 9 ways that we are to be the church in this order. Protect the environment. Care for the poor. Forgive often. Reject racism, fight for the powerless, share earthly and spiritual resources, embrace diversity, finally, love God, and then last, enjoy this life. It's a wonderful list of things to do, none of which I'm opposed to. But did you notice that sharing that thing that is first and center in the books of Acts, it doesn't show up on the list until number 6. And God doesn't show up until number 8. Loving God was the first great commandment that Jesus taught us, the thing through which all other things flow. And on that bumper sticker, there is not a word or a whiff about praying, worshiping, gathering for meals, or praising God with generous hearts. And that bumper sticker, it gives me pause. This local church does a whole lot of doing that serves the community and a whole lot of loving. And I give thanks to God for every bit of it. I also hope and pray that we will always ask the question here in this room about what motivates our giving. Why do we do what we do? In our statement of purpose as a local church, we proclaim that our purpose is to represent Christ, God's saving and healing love both locally and in the wider world. Our bylaws calls upon our Board of Mission and Action to be Christ's servants in places of need. And in our new member liturgy, we all pledge to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ. On paper, this church measures up beautifully, and that is great. As we prepare to enter a visioning process, as we prepare to contemplate what we are called to be as a local church, I hope that we keep this story that Gary read to us on our minds always. We need to make sure that we always ground what we do in care that emerges from the one we follow. We need to make sure that what we do is what the people of the early church did. Pray constantly, every day. Listen for God's leading in our lives. Listen to one another and the things that are on our hearts and minds. We need to spend time together in worship, breaking bread and praising God. And then, like the disciples before us, I have no doubt that we are going to find plenty to keep us busy. We will find plenty of people in all kinds of needs, and knowing this place and knowing you, I know that we will respond in ways that are true, lovely, and brave. Brothers and sisters, doing is in our DNA. Let us make sure we never lose that desire. But let us also make sure we never lose the source, the grounding and the force of all of our doing, that all we do and all we say may be our testimony to the one we follow, the one who has been and is resurrected, the one we know is Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We now come to the time in worship where we open our lives to God in prayer. Here in this church, we name our joys and concerns out loud so that we may be kindred in unity and that we may take those prayers with us from this day and pray them in the days to come. And so I ask you again this morning, what joys do you have? What concerns do you bring on this day? All right, we've got multiple joys. Go ahead, Diane. We continue to hold Ted and his father in our prayers and give thanks for a dad that's sitting up and chatting. Dan, did you have something you wanted to? I'm sorry, I did not hear much of what you said. We keep the Norton family who lost their son in the automobile accident last weekend and the other two boys who continue to recover. Yes. We keep the Naylor family in our prayers who lost a brother yesterday. We keep Kimberly in our prayers as she arrives in the Middle East to do works of healing. Belle. Blessings for the Stuart Bartle family. Other joys and concerns on this day. Elaine. Today we lift up the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide and pray for justice as the perpetrators have never admitted to its existence. Glenn. We pray for your Aunt Lila, who has health concerns. Michelle. We remember the Nigerian schoolgirls who were kidnapped on Tuesday 1 year ago. We continue to pray for them. Other joys and concerns on this day. Yes, John. We give thanks that, Max, you are here again in worship today. Thank you for your presence and your life among us. Other joys and concerns. Yes. We pray for the jury in the Boston bombing trial. Having completed the easier part of their task, they now turn to the horrific part of their task in deciding sentence. Ashley. We give thanks for the joy and exuberance of your son. We give thanks that you are his mother, and we do pray blessings upon you of peace and courage and stamina. Yes, Corinne. We lift up love, joy for the love that animals provide to us and concern for all animals that are suffering. Other joys and concerns on this day. We lift up your caretaker, Kristen, who is caring for her 5-year-old nephew who faces life-threatening illness, and pray for both of them that healing and wholeness may come. Yeah, Max. Amen. Max would like to thank all the people of this church who have been helpful to him in his struggles, who have visited him and prayed for him and cared for him. Other joys and concerns. Yes. We lift up our sister Carrie, who continues to struggle with pneumonia, and pray that she might find healing and wholeness as well. Let us then take a moment of silence to let all of these prayers sink into our hearts and onto our minds. Powerful and loving God, you have raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and we ask on this morning that you raise us too. Raise us from all that diminishes or detracts. Raise us from our fears and worries, our brokenness and our sorrows, from the ways that we sometimes draw inward. May fresh life burst among us as buds awakening to the spring. God, may new communities spring up where fear and division has kept us from neighbor. Keep us patient in making peace and building justice. Teach us to trust that slow process of seed turning to stem, of stem turning to flower, and flower turning to fruit. God, on this glorious day, we ask you to send your blessings down upon all those who gather here in Stockbridge. Bless those who don't just come to this church, but all who are gathering up on the hill. Those who have come to Mercy Sunday seeking joy, healing, grace, and mercy. Bless their worship that it might be true, and the day that all of it might point to you. God, on this morning, we lift up our many prayers, trusting them into your care and guidance. And we ask you to breathe on us your Holy Spirit, that we might be truly and fully and wholly alive. And let us all say, Amen. A UCC minister from Connecticut, Robert Edwards, a man for whom doing is in his DNA, wrote a hymn with these words: God, whose giving knows no ending, from your rich and endless store, nature's wonder, Jesus' wisdom, costly cross, grave-shattered door. Gifted by you, we turn to you, offer up ourselves in praise. Thankful song shall raise forever, gracious donor of our days. It is in that spirit that I ask you to give our offering this morning. Mm-hmm. Loving God, lend your joy to all our giving. Let it light our pilgrim way. From the night of anxious keeping, loose us in generous day. God, may those blessings of light and way, of generosity and day, accompany these gifts and our lives forevermore. Amen. Friends, before we end our worship and go our separate way, a few invitations for you today. First, I would invite you to join us in the Jonathan Edwards room after worship, that we may share some food, that we may join our hearts together and become more unified. Second, I would invite you this afternoon, if you have time, to head up to Pittsfield. Berkshire Lyric will be doing a concert at 3:00 at the Baptist Church there as you enter into Pittsfield. It will include both their regular choir and their kids' choir. Information is in your bulletin. Finally, I'd like to thank Yvonne and ask you to thank him after worship for his gift of music. He is teaching a number of kids cello lessons here in our church on Wednesday afternoons, and we are glad you're here to be part of worship. Now let us close our worship in song. Jesus said, you ought to always pray and never faint. And so I say to you, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, but for power equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work will be no miracle. You will be the miracle. And every day you will wonder at yourself and the richness of life, which has come to you by the grace of God. So go now, in the grace of God, the blessings of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And let the whole church say, Amen.